Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman. And, wow, it's been quite a few. We don't talk every day anymore here lately, and it's been quite a few days. We have Joseph Meyer's going to come in for a quick update. Why Joseph Meyer? Well, one of the most significant IPOs, gosh, in a long time. I mean, I don't want to be overdramatic. I mean, I'm not going to say ever or nothing, but certainly one of the most important IPOs of the last 10, 20 years is coming out here. I don't know if it's today or in the next couple of days. Coinbase. Do you not know what Coinbase is? Coinbase is the largest cryptocurrency exchange service in the, I know it is in America.
Yeah.
Is it in the world or just America?
Yeah, I think it's in the world. $1.8 billion in the first quarter.
They made a $1.8 billion.
Yeah. A lot of money.
They're having their IPO, their initial public offering. They're going public, Wall Street. What does this mean? Is Wall Street now openly embracing cryptocurrency? We've talked about this is one of the most important. You may not think it is, and I totally understand why you would think that. It doesn't matter to me. It's not part of my life, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I get it. I am telling you my opinion. This is one of the most important signals economically in the landscape, maybe of our economic culture, this point right here. We'll talk to Joseph Meyer, see what he thinks. And, you know, what does that mean for our future? What does that mean for, you know, the whole deal? I think it's very important, and we're going to talk about it, among other things. Of course, the government's still spending like a drunken sailor. And James McCanney will be joining us the second hour. We always love James to talk about a variety of subjects, including this. Last time he was on, we talked about the hidden Israelites. We've lost our identity, those kind of things. More, he wants to talk a little bit more about that, some interesting facts. And, of course, Uncle Kevin's here. Good morning, Uncle Kevin.
Good morning. It's another great day in America, especially with this IPO coming out. I think it's going to be the dawning of a new age.
Well, that can be good or bad. And I think that's the hesitancy or the whatever word you want to use. I think that's...
Well, it could be, get rid of fiat. This could be the bringing in of the crypto dollar and getting rid of fiat money, or it could be the great acceptance around the world of cryptos, or it could be a lot of things, you know?
China has come out. They've started a soft release. I don't know if that's the word. Of a digital yuan, a blockchain yuan. Yuan is their currency.
Is it backed by gold?
It doesn't say yet. We're going to talk to James Joseph about this.
I heard
this.
That's the ideal for them. They want to have a digital yuan backed by gold, so everybody flocks to it, you know?
We got a caller. Also, anybody who wants to call in, please do. 844-769-2944. There's some very important stories. The Johnson & Johnson story is the biggest story in definitely America right now, maybe the world. We'll get to that. Lawrence, just hold on just one second. Let's finish this thought about the yuan. This is another marker. You know, Max Keiser, who's been so accurate about Bitcoin over the last decade. Max Keiser sat on an interview, I don't know, about 7-8 years ago, an interview with Alex Jones, and offered to give Alex Jones 10,000 Bitcoin. 10,000 Bitcoin. And Alex said, no, this is stupid. I don't want...
Yeah, cost me $1 million.
A million? 10,000 Bitcoin is like $60 million right now. Or $600 million. Is it $60 million or $600 million?
Yeah. And wasn't your one of your friends listening to that exact same show?
Oh, yes. She said something about that. And then she...
Yeah. I had my $100. I was ready to buy... And then after Max Kaiser gets off the air, Alex goes, man, I know nothing about it. I am not getting into it. I can't put my audience in harm's way because it could be raked with fraud. And then I just said, well, I'm out.
10,000 Bitcoin right now is worth $630 million. $100 at the time, and that's assuming it was about at $3. I think it was a little less. Well, let's assume about $3, about 35 Bitcoin. Let's just say 35 Bitcoin. That's $2.2 million. $100 would have been $2.2 million today.
Yeah.
This is a big transfer. We've talked about this, the digital currency, the transhumanism, everything digital, the biggest wealth transfer in the history of the world is occurring into this market. What does that mean? Well, you may disagree on what it does mean or doesn't mean, but it means something, and it's important. No question about it. Anyway, anything? Oh, the point I was getting at about Wall Street. Wall Street is now making the point that China putting out this digital currency is going to soften confidence in the U.S. dollar, the United States dollar, that now it's like openly talking about this and now eroding confidence in the United States. Wall Street is talking about that, not the Power Hour. Wall Street
right.
is. We're not just talking about that. Wall Street is. Yep. What have we been saying for years? This is coming. We've talked about one of the proudest things I am that we have done on this show is we have detailed this pretty accurately. To this point, it's been pretty accurate. And it's very important. Any thoughts you have on that before we go to the caller, Kev?
Well, you might not be interested in cryptos, but cryptos are going to be interested in you down the line.
It's like politics. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm telling you. There's a wave that's it's not even off in the distance anymore. You can see the wave now. The wave, like yes. If you're standing on the beach, you can see the wave. It's there in the distance. You can see it. The wave is visible now, yep. And it's coming straight towards you. You want to get on top of the wave, no question. Lawrence in Schenectady. I can't even say it. We have to get Lawrence to say that. Lawrence, you're live on the air. Great to talk to you. Where are you from, Lawrence?
Lawrence of Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady, New York. Very good.
Right.
Well, welcome.
And. Thank you. I had posted a letter at your website. I don't know if you got it, but it pertains to this roller skating rink I go to, and it requires all patrons to wear masks, including infants. I say this because this rink is located in Fulton County, New York, under the authority of Sheriff Richard Giordino, which Sheriff Richard Mack has spoken highly of. It appears that Sheriff Giordino is reluctant to do anything to remove the requirement of wearing masks. Now, I could go to Sheriff Mack's website, but I thought I would run this by you first. And my idea is, you know, with your participation, to get in touch with Sheriff Mack to persuade Sheriff Giordino to issue an advisory to the management of this roller skating rink that masks should not be, that patrons do not have to wear masks and they should not be required or worn on the grounds that they do not provide any medical benefit. If anything, they're extremely detrimental to the wearer, according to supporting medical documentation, i.e. journals for medical doctors. And so if Sheriff Giordino does not comply with Sheriff Mack's request, then maybe Sheriff Mack should write an open letter to Sheriff Giordino stating what I've just said. And upon writing and receive this letter, I will pass copies of it to the rink's patrons.
Pause right there, Lawrence. Yeah. Let's address what you said first. This is fantastic. I love that you're
Thank
taking
you.
The bull by the horns. This is amazing. All right, let me give a couple comments, and I'm not
Please.
Sticking. I don't know what's going on with the sheriff, but let me just give you maybe a little different perspective that may. I'm not sticking up for him, but let me just say a couple things. When you go to Now, it's just changed here locally where Walmart, you go to the store and it says masks are required to enter. It says masks are required.
Yes.
But you just walk right in and there's no, you know, they don't make you, they don't, but these signs are everywhere. So I don't know what it is in New York. Is it the same kind of thing? This business put a sign up, and if you walk in, they're going to, I don't know. Maybe you know. I don't know. But there seems to be.
Same thing.
Go ahead.
In New York and at this rink, in order to get in, there's a person standing there, and basically you've got to wear the mask to get in. Otherwise, the manager will not admit anybody.
All right. Well, let me defend them a little bit.
Is it public or private?
Excuse me?
Is it public or private?
The rink is open to the public.
Yes. It doesn't matter if it's privately owned. See, that's where they're trying to get
private,
over on this. They're trying to say we're a private business; we can do what we want. Well, that's not true. You have a public license. You have an unalterable
public contract.
Yeah, you have a public contract to let people in, except for cause, and cause is not. I'm not wearing a mask. Is not cause.
Right.
Sheriffs have been hesitant. I don't know what it's like in that county, and I don't know. You know, if push came to shove, you know, I don't know. A sheriff. It's one thing for a sheriff to say. Okay, the government is now going to enforce the masks in public, and they're going to arrest people in public for not wearing a mask. Okay, that's one thing, and it seems like the Sheriff Giardino has been willing to stand up and say, no, we're not enforcing that. That's one thing. It's a much easier sell. It's a much easier, although it's taking a stand, and it's taking a big stand. That's much easier than now him going to businesses and dealing with these individual fights with these businesses. So in that regard, I'm not justifying, you know, I don't even know, but I'm just trying to give you a little different perspective that, you know, but what you're saying, I think is incredibly valid. I think it's incredibly poignant what you're doing. I would be more than happy to reach out to Sheriff Mack or do anything I can to assist you. And making that happen, I, you know how I feel about what Sheriff Mack is doing. This is so crucial. What you are doing, Lawrence, and you are being aggressive. Now, one thing I will caution you by, we need, especially somebody like Sheriff Giardino, we need him as a friend. Be careful how you tread. These are our friends, even though we don't agree with them. We can't, they are our public servants, but they're human too. And so you gotta be a little, you know, a little, pragmatic here and a little, you know, a little politicky a little bit to make this work. I will be more than happy. Mm-hmm. You tell me what you want to do. All fair. Maybe I can get your number. You can text me, call me, and then I'll be more than happy to try to work with you to see what we can do with that.
Right. That's why I suggested the idea of having, Sheriff Mack ask Sheriff Giardino.
I think that's perfect.
Advisory. This way, there's no idea of, you know, of coercion. This way, you're making a suggestion to Giardino to issue the advisory, saying that patrons do not have to wear the mask.
You know, and maybe the play here is let's talk to Sheriff Mack and ask him. I mean, he'll definitely have an opinion.
Yes.
And then maybe the play is, you know, if you're going to hand out something, maybe you hand out the people come in and say, hey, tell the business owner, you are not coming in unless you take off this mask requirement. Maybe that's the play. And then sheriff can kind of just, he's backed away from the business for doing this. He'll back away from this and let you do that. And maybe that he's kind of just letting it kind of work itself out. Maybe, I don't know, but, can you give your number to Todd, or maybe I'll have Todd give you my number. I'll have Todd, can you hear me? Okay, Todd, off air, please give him my cell number. And Lawrence, do you have a cell phone? Can you text me?
Yeah, in fact, when I sent you the letter, I put in my landline phone there and my text number as well, my cell phone number, where you can call me or text me.
Okay, well, he's going to give you my cell number off air.
Okay.
Please do not share it with anybody or post it on the internet, please. And call me, text me directly. Just say, hey, this is Lawrence from the show. And then, you know, I'm really a lot going on over here right now. Just, you know, as you can imagine. But just, I definitely want to help you. And I'm so excited that you're doing this. I'll help you any way I can and get you a Sheriff Mac.
Also, in the, when I wrote the letter, I suggest that it be copied. I don't know if you're, on board with this. I suggest that it be copied to you and thepowerhour.com. But I'll leave that, you know, that's up to you whether you want the CC notation in there.
As far as on the website, I don't know. Catherine puts up most of the things, the news stories on the website. I have not seen it, and I apologize.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I should, but
that's okay.
But I'm talking to you now. I'm really glad you called. Todd is going to give you my number. Don't hang up. Todd's going to give you my, and if for some reason you get cut off, just call back. He's going to give you my cell number. Text me, and then we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thanks very much for taking my call.
I'm so excited that you are doing this, Lawrence. I can't even tell you.
I don't know of any other, you know, method to use to address this. So this is what I came up with.
It's amazing. I think it's fantastic. You know, and the thought came to me, you know, so many times people who don't wear masks, we're made to feel a certain way with these businesses. And, mm-hmm. and the business owners will – I've talked to some of them. They say, well, if I don't require a mask, if our employees don't wear a mask, then mm-hmm. we get complaints from people. And the thought came to me, well, then why don't I complain? Why doesn't the other side complain? Yeah. Why don't non-mask wear – every business that is pushing this, we should call the business owners in a polite way, be polite, and say, look, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is ridiculous. I don't like this. They complain and they get their way. So let us complain. It's important. Anyway, mm-hmm. God bless you, Lawrence. Thank you so much. We got the – wow, that was a good call, Kev. What do you think?
Sure was.
We got another call. Sherry in Missouri. Sherry in Kansas. Where's she from, Todd? It's Sherry in Kansas, right?
Kansas.
That's my girl. There she
Hello,
is.
Hello, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like you to ask Joseph Myers about new IRS, fairly new IRS rules concerning crypto. I guess it's all cryptos, but I Jeff Bennett was saying on his show last night that the IRS has come out with something that says, and he was mostly talking about Bitcoin, but they're going to tax Bitcoin by, if you buy something with it, that's when they're going to tax you. And if it's something you've had long term, it's going to be taxed like, you buy something, it's going to be like capital gains. And if it's, so this is when you convert it into like Federal Reserve notes to buy something.
Well, this is a very good question. This is
and the other thing is, if it's just a short term thing and you've only had it for anywhere from you just bought it and it's went up in price so much and you decide to cash in and get some of that Federal Reserve note so you can spend it, that's going to be considered you're going to have to pay tax on that money, just like you do on regular income tax. But if it's something long-term, it's more like capital gains. But something I'd like you to address with him because, you know, Jeff was saying that, you know, they decided there's supposed to be some guy that they got that was on LRN, radio, the libertarian thing. I know they come on I don't hardly ever listen to that station, but they're on the satellite. And he was doing a lot of cryptocurrency trading, I think mostly with Bitcoin, and they followed him for a few years. I mean, he was doing big money, and he was like something. Do you know anything about this?
No. When you said Jeff who? Who was saying Jeff? Who? What
Jeff
show was
Bennett.
It?
He's
Jeff Bennett.
Yeah, and he was. He's not the one that was talking about the guy on LRN. There was somebody on another RBN show that was talking about that guy. But apparently, he was converting people people or something, and he was charging them 10% to convert their cash or their crypto into cash or something. I don't know, but anyway, the IRS came after him, or the FBI, one of the two. But anyway, ask Joseph when you get him on about
I will.
That. What
you're
going to
see a lot
that.
Of things like this and a lot of things about discussion. There, right now, as far as I know, unless something's changed recently, there is really no tax law in America regarding
not on
crypto.
The books as of yet. But
as of yet, there's
the
really
IRS
not. Now,
well,
want.
He was saying the IRS came out with this fairly recent, and, of course, they can just
Congress
make things up. You know,
I haven't
they
seen
just,
that bill.
Yeah, they just make things up, and then they just go by, they just do it, and then if you comply. Here's a good rule of thumb about taxes. It's like buying gold and silver. Gold and silver is still one of the most private, even more so than crypto, is one of the most private purchases there is in ways to hold wealth. When you go, if you buy gold, you can't pay your taxes in gold, therefore it's not really taxable in that way. This is kind of my understanding. It's the same way with cryptos. You can't pay, at least now, in the future you probably will, but now you can't take your cryptos and go pay taxes with it. So as long as it's in cryptos, kind of like you said, then it's not a taxable event. I'm not a tax advisor. I'm not giving any tax advice. I don't even want to go there or get there or whatever. But what I will ask what you said. That's a very important question. I really appreciate it. Anything else, Sherry?
Well, and, the only way they're not going to know that you have it is if you're going to coin shops and paying cash, because if you're,
hey, hold on, Sherry. Hey, Todd, can you get rid of this break? Hold on, Sherry.
Or putting it on a credit card. They know you've got it.
Hold on 1 second, Sherry. Okay, Todd, you got rid of the break. Okay, let's just have no break. Let's just keep going through. Finish your thought, Sherry. Apologize.
Well, the government will know you have it if you're using a credit card or paying in a check to buy it. The only way they're not going to know that you absolutely have it is if you go to a coin dealer local and buy it with cash. They keep track of all that
Coinbase
stuff eventually. I mean, they can know you have it eventually because
Coinbase reports everything to the IRS.
Yeah, and every crypto has an ID number.
Yeah,
ID number.
This is the great debate about all this. And there'll be a time in the future where money laundering. I mean, you could see a drug dealer uses crypto. 5 years ago, now you have this same crypto, so we're taking it from you. I mean, you can see where this is going, or certain what's possible. And then your next question is going to come up. Well, why would I want to get involved in it? I get it. I totally understand. I totally understand. But we're not there, and there's going to be a lost cycle because the wannabes will use crypto to soak up excess cash. Remember what I just said. This is very important, and you're not going to hear this anywhere. This is very important.
But, like you say, all they got to do is take down the grid. Then
that's not true.
As you're concerned.
No, that's not true.
At least if you have gold and silver.
I love gold and silver.
You can hold on to.
I love gold and silver. Love gold and silver. I think it's fantastic. But I love cryptos right now anyway. We do have Joseph right now.
Okay, that's all I had.
Why don't you stay? Hey, hold on, Sherry. Todd, can we keep Sherry and Joseph? Okay, well, Sherry, just stay right there. In case I don't ask this question of Joseph well, then we'll have you answer the question or have you ask the question. So just hang right there, Sherry. Really appreciate your question. StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. You know how I feel about his newsletter. Unless you're an economics major, if you go to like Salary Report and Catherine Austin Fitz sends you this thesis that's about 2 inches thick and you can thumb through that and, you're talking about very deep level information. Unless you're that person, I'm not that person. I want simple. I want actionable information. I want it broken down to where something I can use, something I can share, something that means something to me. This is the best that I've seen. StraightMoneyAnalysis.com, the newsletter. And we're talking about one of the best. He's been there for a long time. Supposedly, he has the pick and the axe from Sutter's Mill in the 1860s, 1849, whatever it is. Yeah. In California, we love him. We're so happy to have him. We want him for
I'm
update
down
today.
I'm coming down to Florida to see that there, Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph Meyer, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Good morning, Daniel. Good morning. How's things going with the Power Hour? Always a pleasure to visit with you, Daniel. Thank you so much.
We're doing good, Joseph. It's good to talk to you. We have somebody, we're having on the hold. If I don't ask this question correctly, she's going to ask it for me. But let's start off this. Sherry in Kansas is saying she's hearing reports, and I've heard rumors about this. As far as I know, the IRS really has no on the books law about crypto taxes at this point. She is talking about, you know, they're talking about it. There's rumors. They're going to tax you when you buy something with cryptos, you know, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. What is your perspective about taxes and cryptos at this point?
Well, I think what we're going to see as we move forward is the IRS come out with a definitive program and policy as it's going to affect crypto. I don't think we're there yet, but we're certainly heading in that direction now due to the popularity of crypto very quickly, Daniel.
Well, I've been told that, you know, maybe 2 years from now, maybe not quite that long, not now, maybe 2 years, I don't know, that KYC, if you're in banking, KYC means know your customer. So when you go to get a bank account, you know, you need everything except your blood, you know, DNA sample of your blood to get a bank account. That's KYC, know your customer. That same type of process, maybe not that extensive, but that same process is going to be coming to cryptographic wallets pretty soon, within around 2 years. Your thoughts on that?
I think it could happen even sooner due to again, the popularity of crypto. This market is literally exploding, Daniel.
Sherry, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, does that help your question, right? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I just heard that they just recently came out with something, but that was the first I had heard of it, as far as they're saying that's the way they're going to treat it. So I just, but, you know, maybe.
Now, on the tax,
I don't know. That's why I was wondering if Joseph had heard anything.
Now, on the 1040 form, it I think this year was the first year, maybe it was last year, this year was the first year they asked the question, have you purchased cryptocurrencies? It just asks you that. Have you purchased cryptocurrencies, yes or no? And that's it. There's nothing further.
It's a reportable asset on your income tax, Daniel. It has to be reported if you own it.
Okay, say that again.
It's a reportable asset on your income tax return. You have to report it if you own it.
Well, there you go. And there's, you know.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what he was talking about.
That's all I had. And I am not a tax person. I'm not, but whatever. So deal with that, and there's ways
right,
to look
thanks.
At that. Thank you so much, Sherry. God bless you.
See you later.
We're right at cryptos. Let's keep talking about cryptos, Joseph.
The IPO went forward today on the NASDAQ. The symbol for Coinbase is COIN, Daniel.
Wow. That's a great symbol.
Bitcoin is now currently doing about $10 billion a day in sales. So this is a huge market. And as I had said to you in the last show we did together, if we look at the capitalization of crypto, it's now a $2 trillion market. So I believe we're going to see tremendous growth in crypto as we move forward. This is far from over, Daniel. I think the biggest gains are not behind us. They're still in front of us.
Let me, you know, you're an old, you know, excuse the term, but you're an old grizzled Wall Street veteran. And this seems a little unexpected maybe for some people to see a grizzled Wall Street veteran talking so gushingly about cryptocurrency. I mean, make sense of that for us. Why are you so adamant about this?
Well, I think, as I've said many times, it's the future. We're moving away from paper money, and we're starting to move away from it globally now very, very quickly. No question, China's moving towards a digitized currency now very rapidly. We could very well see them come out with a digitalized gold-backed yuan before the end of the year. No question, money is moving around the world, and it's moving into Bitcoin. I think when we get the sell-offs in Bitcoin, even though they're sharp and they're somewhat scary, they represent good long-term buying opportunities as we move to much higher prices. But I looked at a chart on Bitcoin this morning, and I tend to believe the move that's underway, although we pulled off the highs earlier this morning, I think we're on our way to 80,000 a coin in Bitcoin, Daniel. That's where I think we're headed.
Wow. If we're talking Bitcoin at 80,000, it's at a little over 60 now, then we're talking about some of these alternative coins. You're talking about much bigger gains. You're talking about double, triple, quadruple in some of these gains.
Well, we've had a move of over 100% in Bitcoin just since the first of the year. As you know, the 52-week low in Bitcoin's around 6,500. We traded this morning to 64,008. So even though I believe we've seen an unprecedented move in Bitcoin so far in early 2021, I think as we move forward, we're going to see even more spectacular gains. I'm not advocating for a minute that you become a first-time buyer at these price levels in Bitcoin. But I do think if you're in Bitcoin, you want to be very careful to protect the downside, but you don't want to sell out and lose the additional upside by moving out of the market too early.
We've talked a lot about cryptocurrencies. If you're interested, the person that I have found to be credible, again, this is not financial advice, this is just information for you, patreon.com/CryptoJ. If you want to learn specifically about cryptos, you can learn a lot on YouTube, the videos to get you to up to speed. The BitcoinAcademy.net is another one of the websites if you want to learn just about more specifically about cryptocurrencies. StraightMoneyAnalysis.com is Joseph's website. Unbelievable resource, unbelievable newsletter. Joseph, talk a little bit about your newsletter and why people should be on this. Talk about that.
Well, we write about topics in the newsletter that no one wants you to know about, and I break down what I think is going on in specific sectors of the market. And I tell you, based on my experience and certainly the time I've spent in this industry, how best to be part of what's taking place and certainly take advantage of the opportunity. That's what Straight Money Analysis has done from the very first issue of the newsletter, Daniel.
Where's gold and silver's place in all this?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. Gold and silver have a tremendous future along with Bitcoin as we move forward. I think when you take a look at the fiat currencies of the world, they've never been more diluted than they've been in the last couple of years, and the money printing even continues. So I think at some point we're going to see the ending of the dollar as a world reserve currency, and we're going to see Bitcoin continue to move higher, and we're going to see more nations move towards a digitized currency. That's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
What is, stock market? I didn't prepare you for this question. I don't know if you're aware. What's Johnson & Johnson's stock doing this morning after the vaccine got halted?
Well, all these stocks in the healthcare industry are extremely volatile. I think it was somewhat shocking that the Johnson & Johnson news came out. But I think when you talk about the vaccines and you talk about the experimental nature of them and you talk about certainly the problems they've had with certain people getting very serious reactions, I think it was certainly the right thing to do.
I watched, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow. I hardly ever watch her. I wanted to see what people were saying about this vaccine. I turned on her. She was going on and on about how, oh, this is just six people. This is of abundance of caution. It's just kind of weird how things went. It's just a good thing that happened. And I'm thinking to myself, six people, are you telling me Did they just stop the multi-billion-dollar, trillion-dollar machine because six people were damaged? Give me a break. Does anybody believe this? I mean, did the same thought come to your mind?
Well, I think they certainly had problems, and it probably runs in the tens of thousands. They don't want to admit it. I think they've had some very severe problems with all these vaccines, and I think they're hiding it from the public. I think if you take the vaccine, you got to say to yourself, what's my risk? And I think, quite honestly, in a lot of individual cases, we don't know what that is.
I love the meme that says, how am I supposed to tell that the vaccine's effective? Does the survival rate go from 99.7% to 99.8%? Is that success? You know, it's so telling. It's like, it's a diminishing return. You're taking all this risk for what? I mean,
risking your life. You got a better chance to get hit by lightning.
That's not true, but it's close. But it's close.
Well, I think in all honesty, Daniel, this is a decision that every American has to make individually for himself. I think you got to decide what are the benefits versus what are the potential risks. And am I healthy enough to go it alone without a vaccine and take the chance?
Denmark just canceled they just halted. Ireland, I think it was yesterday or the day before. Ireland just stopped. Many other countries, France, Germany, has stopped certain rollouts. These are major developed countries in America up until this point, up until this Johnson & Johnson stop, has been hell-bent on just pushing this like it's mother's milk. They keep telling us on corporate media, a big part of corporate media, that you are ignorant, you are a science denier, you are a lunatic if you question this, just roll up your sleeve and take the vaccine. That's what we've heard pretty much. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. That's what we've heard from most of corporate media. What am I supposed to think now? Corporate media is telling me, well, there may have been some problems with the vaccine. The experimental shot. Let's be accurate. What should I think now?
Well, I think you got a question. If you went ahead and took the shot, did you do the right thing?
What does it say about media, corporate media? I mean, have they lost all credibility on this? I just can't see how anybody would trust them anymore.
Well, I think when you talk about the media, they have an agenda, and that agenda doesn't include you.
I think that's a pretty fair way to say it.
The lies go with French fries.
We're seeing, I think it was 100 CEOs. This is about a week ago. They got together and formed some kind of pact, basically, where they're going to go after any state like Georgia who wants to pass voter accountability, voter identification, you know, to be able to have some kind of semblance of reasonability on voter accuracy. And with these 100 CEOs says, we're going to go after and punish any state that does this. What does this say about Wall Street and CEOs? And I mean, this isn't about dollars and cents anymore. This is straight political, I don't know what you call it. What would you call it?
Well, I think without a doubt, we're facing challenges now in the United States that are, quite frankly, in my humble opinion, unprecedented. I've never seen more social stress. I've never seen more financial stress in some areas of the economy. And honestly, I've never seen more people suffering the consequences of these economic policies that have gone forth for many years now, taking hold and affecting a lot of people beyond what you would want to deem a normal situation. I think when you look at the millions of homeless and they continue to increase, and you look at the amount of money that's been pumped by the government into these social programs, you wonder where the money had actually went and who benefited. So I think, honestly, we're at a critical point in history when we talk about where we go as a country from here and how we deal with the problems that are facing the majority of Americans. I think health care is certainly a big problem now when we talk about COVID-19. And we talk about the ability to get vaccinated and certainly protect ourselves from possibly contracting COVID-19? And if we are vaccinated, are we safe from a reoccurrence of it forming in a different new strain? So I think there's many things we don't know the answers to when it comes down to. We got to take things as we move forward based on what we know, not what we don't, Daniel.
I'll give somebody $100 if they can find me a reference, or a real reference of somebody from the CDC level, from the pharmaceutical companies who are even claiming that this experimental shot gives you immunity, that you take this, you won't get COVID. I'll give somebody $100 if they can find that. Because I've looked. It doesn't exist. $100, there's the first person that can come up with them. There's a challenge to everybody in the audience. I'll give you $100. I'm not talking about some talking head like Rachel Maddow. I'm talking about some scientists from the CDC or somebody from the somebody from the pharmaceutical companies who have manufactured these, who will tell you that you get this and it will stop you from getting COVID. That will give you immunity. I'll give you $100.
Well, I think the average American wants to believe once he's vaccinated, he is immune.
You have corporate media just irresponsibly saying things. I mean, Rachel, going to help immunity and help curb the virus. And it gives you the impression, whether they say it or not, that, this is giving me immunity. This is making me healthy. Nobody is saying that from the pharmaceutical companies. Nobody.
Because
nobody.
It's not true.
Go ahead, Joseph. I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry. I was talking over you.
I said they don't come out and say it because they know it's not true.
Bingo.
Let me say one thing. I've always believed the pessimist is an optimist in full possession of the facts. And I don't think we have all the facts.
Let me give you a couple anecdotal things from my family, okay? And my one uncle, not Uncle Kevin, my one uncle got both the shots. I told you this later. After he took the first shot, I hadn't seen him for about 4, 5, 6 weeks, I don't know, between him taking the first shot and seeing him. And when I saw him, he looked different. I swear to you. He looked different. Kevin, can you not confirm that I'm telling the truth? Kevin, you there?
Yeah.
Can you confirm? Am I not telling the truth about Uncle Steve? Did he not look different?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then he got the second shot. I haven't seen him since he got set. You're telling me he looks worse now.
After he got the second shot, oh my gosh, he looked like the cat drug him in, you know? He's recovered a little bit, but he just doesn't look good.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him and it was shocking when I saw him. Like, holy cow, what are you a HIV patient? I mean,
after the second shot for 2 days, he looked like Santa Claus. His face was all red.
Ooh. Well, here's what happened to him recently. He all of a sudden couldn't see. He was at church and couldn't see. Couldn't read. Okay, that's my Uncle Steve. My wife's one of her uncles, he had to go to the doctor because he went blind after taking the shot. He went blind, ladies and gentlemen. He could not see at all. My Uncle Steve at least could see, you know, it was just blurry. My wife's uncle, he went dark.
For how
dark.
Long?
He went to the hospital. I don't know. I'm still trying to gather the information on it. It was hours. He started to come back and he started to see blurry and stuff. He saw white lights and then dark.
Wow.
After this. Dark. Okay. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe something else is going on. I don't know. I'm just telling you my own anecdotal experience. I'm starting to see people. Another uncle, all of a sudden he's got neuropathy. And, you know, okay, anybody can have neuropathy.
How's that happen?
Anybody can have neuropathy. Well, maybe it's just, right after he takes a shot. This is just my family. This isn't like, I'm not doing some, this is just information coming to me I'm not even looking for. And,
does anybody relate it, you know, anybody of those who's stuck with that relate it back to the vaccine or?
Okay, let me tell you about
mine. Absolutely not.
Let me tell you about my wife's uncle. When he was in the hospital going over this, they did not even test him for COVID. Now, hear what I say, ladies and gentlemen. They are hell-bent I'm testing everybody in this world practically and making it so you got to show a piece of paper before you go to a baseball game about this. My uncle is in the hospital, had just had a, I think it was in a couple weeks, had the shot. And also other doctors are reporting that there are some issues with eyes and COVID, and they won't test him?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And they'll put trackers on all the baseball players.
Yeah, the baseball players can't go to the freaking restaurant without being tracked by somebody.
Everywhere they go, the baseball players are being tracked in case they come across somebody who might have had COVID or something.
Are they ridiculous? Are they trying to teach you something? But my uncle is in the hospital blind, and they don't even think to test him.
No, it has nothing to do with it. It's just like when you bring your kid back to the doctor. Well, doctor, the kid's acting weird now. He's banging his head against the wall. He started doing it right after you gave him the vaccine. Could that have anything to do with it?
No, not at all. You're a lunatic. Not. I think you're violent. I think I'm going to have CPS come talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. You're making stuff up.
I think you're shaking your kid. What are you doing?
Exactly.
Anyway, Joseph's sitting here. God only knows what's going through Joseph's head right now. Joseph.
Daniel, I want to say one other thing. I think when we talk about the timing of the IPO involving Coinbase, I think you have to look at what's been going on in the equity markets, and I think more importantly, the timing of the IPO is coincident with a new all-time high in the Dow. And I think money is coming out of the markets and moving into Bitcoin. And one other thing, we made the lows about a year ago when the NASDAQ and the other averages, we had 52% bears. The latest investment sentiment, I saw it this morning, we're down to 20% bears. So I think we've had a dynamic shift in psychology and sentiment. And when you look at 52% bears versus currently 20%, I think that's another very strong indicator that we're approaching possibly an area in the next couple of weeks of a final top being put in place in the Dow and the other averages in the market, Daniel.
All right, let me play. You've been incredibly accurate. You don't have a crystal ball, and this thing is fluid, and this is unprecedented times. I mean, all these things, let's just say this.
Yes, they are.
Let me throw this on the other side. Could this Coinbase IPO, this desire for Wall Street to get involved in cryptocurrencies, could this almost single-handedly turn the sentiment of the stock market and hold it up and keep it maybe going forward and limping along further? I think this is a very big deal, your perspective.
Well, I think it's a distinct possibility, and I think when you look at the Dow, when you look at certainly what's going on in Bitcoin as well, you have what we call a momentum liquidity-driven rally. And in the case of Bitcoin, we've got the market now going literally parabolic. But I think we're definitely going to see over the next few weeks is this IPO starts to trade very actively in the secondary market. We're going to see if the IPO moves forward while we see crypto move forward if the Dow follows. I strongly believe that could be the case.
Wow. Okay.
But as I've said many times, I think it's also time to ring the cash register, take some money off the table, reduce your exposure to risk, and raise some cash. Cash is a very important ingredient in the overall situation that most people have as they approach the market. And it's important that you lock up some of these profits while the market's still going up. Because once we put the top in place, everybody's going to try to get out at the same time. And who are they going to sell to? So I always like to sell a little early and take my profit and move to the sidelines while the market allows me to do it at decent prices, Daniel. Never lose sight of that fact.
The thought just came to me.
Same thing in crypto.
The thought just came to me.
Well, how about this scenario? How about the stock market is overcooked and they take the stock market takes out money and puts it into crypto.
Oh, let me add another part to that and then answer it, Joseph. The thought I just had listening to you, for years, it seems like the market has been the driver, and if the market goes down, Bitcoin goes down. That Bitcoin, more or less, to some degree, has been affected and follows the market. Is this now a turning of now Bitcoin will drive the market? It'll be opposite, where Bitcoin will take the lead and the stock market will follow. It will be flipped.
Well, I think we're seeing a decoupling of what's going on in various markets as they affect one another over the last year. I think as we talk about Bitcoin, I think even if we do see a recession on the horizon and we do see a fall, certainly in the equity markets, which I think there's a good possibility could happen, I think the second half of 2021 could be very disappointing. But having said that, I think Bitcoin has now entered a market unto itself, and I think Bitcoin will continue to do well irrespective of what the economy and the underlying other equity markets do. So I think you got to look at Bitcoin once again as being a very special situation, and I think everybody to some degree should be part of it.
There's the music. Joseph, give us the phone number.
386-677-8642.
386-677-8642. Joseph Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. A pleasure, my friend.
Always a pleasure to visit with you, Daniel. Best wishes to you and Uncle Kevin. Stay safe and healthy.
Same to you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.